Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
We'll get back to that interview you had of Mr. Boone tomorrow. In the meantime, though, I'm happy to say that we're going to have a chat with one of our regulars here, Jack Cousy, founder and director of VFS Group, to discuss a couple of things. Morgan Stanley has said some Chinese stocks could be winners if US-China relations improve. We're going to go jump straight into it. We'll talk about Tesla's aspirations and China taking a setback, and also what's going on with the Fed. Jack, great to have you with us again.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Sorry for my tardiness. We're currently in a lockdown here in Sydney, so I've got two young kids who are keeping me busy, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely no problem. I've got two of my own. I know exactly what that's like, we hope everyone is safe and sound. Look, let's talk about Morgan Stanley. They say that some Chinese stocks could be winners if U.S.-China relations improve. In one of its portfolios, the investment bank listed 30 Chinese companies that depend on the U.S. market for a major chunk of their revenue. They've got a track record. These stocks outperform the MSCI China Index by an average of 206 basis points a month when sentiment around U.S.-China relations is positive. That's what Morgan Stanley analysts have said in a report this month. They fall short by 86 basis points when relations are bad. They've named some of their picks, like Zhongji, InnoLight, Luxshare, Precision Industry, Futu. What do you make of Chinese stocks at the moment?
Yeah, I'm actually quite bullish on Chinese stocks. After a horrible start to the year, I mean, if we talk about China off the highs of February, we saw a massive pullback, particularly in Chinese tech stocks. I mean, that was for a number of reasons. We have seen the PBOC and the Chinese government really try to push down stocks and remove liquidity out of the system. They are very concerned about bubbles, both in the real estate and the stock market. You know, one of the real reasons we saw the killing of the Ant Financial IPO. I think we've seen the worst out of that for a number of reasons. I think the Chinese regulators feel they've got the liquidity issues under control and the asset bubbles under control, particularly coming off the highs of February. We're talking about, you know, 30%, up to a 30% decline in some Chinese stocks, particularly in the tech area. I also think the overarching tech regulation is over. I think they've dealt a blow, or they've sent a signal to their Chinese tech stocks to say, you've got to fall in line, otherwise we'll come in and change your business fundamentally. And then, like you alluded to, we're starting to see a bit of a thawing in the US-China relations. They have had a couple of chats. The first trade chat did happen about a month ago. So that means you've got a lot of ingredients for a Chinese rally towards the end of the year going forward. So I really favor Chinese domestic-based stocks, you know, ones that are dealing with that dual circulation policy, but I really like Chinese tech where they are around here. So some of the key names that I would look at in terms of if you wanted some real names, I really like Xiaomi. That was obviously on the ban list in the dying days of the Trump era. Mm. I also like a company called SMIC, which is a semiconductor play out of China. Again, that was on the ban list. And then China Telecom is another one that's got real good tentacles within the U.S. market and, again, was on that ban list that I think will really perform in the back half of the year. But I'm expecting some bullishness out of the Chinese market. And what I also expect to also help its market is a lot of foreign inflows. So there's a lot of cheap liquidity out in the market, a lot of free money, as we've talked about on this show previously. And I think when you're looking for a emerging market or a foreign play from the U.S., China is going to be their first point of go. So I expect China to have a real good back half of the year after an awful first half of the year. That's significantly underperformed the U.S. market and global markets in general, and I do expect that to change.
Well, what are some of the sectors in China that you think will perform well?
Yeah, look, when you talk about, you know, I'm a big believer in technology. I think it's going to outperform globally again in the second half of the year. After we've seen this kind of value or cyclical play that everybody's talked about, you will know that I believe there are only two areas of technology in the world where you want to be invested in, and that's US and China. So I think tech is a big play. I really like Baba at these levels. I think the worst is over in terms of the regulation on Baba. I also like Tencent with their technicals in gaming. That's a real big play. And for me, the standout in terms of Chinese tech is a company called Meishuan Jumping. they're kind of a quasi-Square, quasi-Uber, quasi-Groupon within China. Really performed really well last year and things come off with everything that we've discussed. They're my three standout names. And then probably outside of that, again within tech, would be Semiconductor Manufacturing International Corporation. That's China's best avenue to become technologically independent in terms of chips. And we know how important chips are to the world and the global economy. So that would be my big four plays going out in terms of single names. If you want to talk about a broad-based ETF, I really like an ETF called the K-Star. That will get you exposure to China's star market. So 2 years ago, China introduced a new index or a new market, and that was the star market. It's their science and innovation board. It's a lot of domestic play companies. As a foreigner, you can't buy those stocks directly, but you now can get exposure by a broad-based ETF. That's my standout ETF within China. And then I really like Chinese healthcare going forward. But there are a few names for investors to have a look at over the back half of the year.
Interesting that you're quite bullish on Alibaba and Tencent, because of all that regulation that we've talked about and the control that has been exerted on them. But you feel that they can rebound now?
Yeah. Look, I think it's a, you know, buy the fact at the moment. So let's just look at Baba for an example. Let's just take a deep dive in what happened into Baba.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they did cop a fine, but it could have been a lot worse. You know, it was only 10%, it was only 8% of income. They could have gone up to 15%. They didn't do that. I think it dispelled the rumors that Jack Ma was, you know, on the peripheral of the PBOC and the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah.
He seems to be back in the spotlight and around. And I think the thing we need to understand about this overarching tech regulation is the Chinese are aware that their tech companies are their golden goose. You know, it's the innovation, it's what's brought them forward globally. And while they have gone about reprimanding them and bringing them back into line, I don't think they want to kill the golden goose. And that's what we've seen over the last month or so. So while we'll still get news or headlines around, you know, cracking down on tech within China, I think they've made their point. And I think going forward, the skies are clear for these outstanding companies, let's put that into perspective, with broad-based services and broad-based revenue that will benefit from a domestic economy that continues to grow and then international expansion globally. So really like tech where they are. And then the last thing I'll say, when you compare them to their cousins in America, so your big tech valuations look very cheap when you go one for one, particularly in sales, particularly in PEs. So I think there's going to be a lot of value, and I think there's going to be a lot of foreign buying of these companies going forward.
Let's quickly move to Tesla, because their aspirations in China dealt a major blow over the weekend after the government ordered that almost all the cars sold in the nation, that's more than 285,000 of them, have to be fixed to address a safety issue. What do you make of that and withdrawing those cars?
Yeah, look, I think, look, you know, Tesla hasn't had a great run in China at the moment. So back earlier in the year at the Shanghai Auto Show, we had some protesters alleging they had malfunctioning brakes. In February, the officials raised concern about safety issues. And then you had the halting of the Gigafactory within China, which I think was a massive blow for China, for Tesla within China. I think this is more of a brand approach. In terms of the recall, what we need to understand is that the beauty about the Tesla is that it's all software-driven, right? So unlike a conventional recall of a, you know, an Audi or a Volkswagen, you don't necessarily, well, in this case, you don't have to take it back to the yard. They're going to do the software upgrade over the software over the internet. So in terms of the financial blow for them in terms of this recall, I don't think it's a massive one. The question is, does it hurt their brand name within China, particularly around safety concerns? And that's the one that the market is asking itself.
Yeah.
Is a massive market for them, and they are facing stiff competition from the likes of NIO and XPeng, which are domestic companies. I think this is nearly a little bruise to the body of Tesla within China, but they will continue to go on forward. It's the best EV car out there. It's got a great brand recognition there. Safety concerns are always worrying, but I think they'll allay market concerns. And if we look at the share price concerns, it really hasn't budged. In fact, it's rallied off that. So a little bit of brand recognition, a little bit of brand repairing that Tesla has to do in China, but I think this is a bit of a nothing burger, to be honest with you, mate.
So you don't think it would really impact Tesla stock then?
No, it hasn't in the last couple of days since we've seen that. Mm-hmm. It hasn't in the last couple of months since we've seen a bit of the issues that they had in China. This is still the number one selling electric EV car in the world and in China, and I think you're going to continue to see growth out of that. You know, Elon's been very good in working with the Chinese government and getting that Shanghai Gigafactory. I know it's not completed yet, but they will get it done. This is more of a little bit of a blow, and they'll move on from this going forward.
Okay. Next up, we'll talk about the U.S. Federal Reserve. The officials have sped up their expected pace of policy tightening amid optimism about the labor market and heightened concerns for inflation. But who were the biggest winners and who were the biggest losers from the Fed's decision to keep rates unchanged?
Yeah, look, let's just talk about inflation because I've got some very strong views on this. If you don't mind getting into that first, and then we'll talk about the biggest winner.
Sure.
I don't believe inflation is long-term. I am in the camp that we're going to see transitory inflation. You know, we talked about inflation coming out of the global financial crisis and the immense amount of liquidity that was coming in. We talked about inflation in the early 2000s. Price pressures or the mechanisms that push inflation down are still there. You've still got a global economy that is digitizing fast. You've still got technology still in its early ways in terms of adoption across a number of industries, which tends to bring down costs. What you also have, and what I believe as an investor must understand, is that we went through a global pandemic. We went through a 1 in 100 or 150-year cycle where the global economy simply shut down overnight. And what that meant was that you had supply pressures all around the globe, which led to an increase in prices. We saw it. We saw it in lumber. We saw it in iron ore. We saw it in copper. We saw it in zinc. We saw it in food. And yes, prices have gone up in certain areas of the global economy, no doubt about it, right?
Yeah.
I bought a hamburger, a cheeseburger from the pub 2 weeks ago before the breakdown, and that was a $25 cheeseburger. But what will happen is the pressures that we've seen on price will come back in. And as slack starts to improve, we're going to see these production and these supply issues come down. And we're already seeing it. Let's look at used cars. They've stabilized. Let's look at things like lumber. It's off nearly 20%. In fact, most commodities in the last 2 or 3 weeks are down double digits. And then I point to a thing called backwardation. When we look at futures prices of commodities, 60 or 70% of them are trading in backwardation, meaning that the futures price is trading lower than the current price. Then you have reopening China, reopening in India in terms of supply of production and goods at a cheap rate. And I really believe this is a transitory effect and that we will go back to normal. Now, the question we need to ask ourselves is, and this is what I get asked all the time, is how long is transitory? Because no one's given us an idea of what transitory is. I think you'll start to see prices come down within the next 3 to 6 months. So them bringing their figure forward, yep, sure, they didn't bring it that far forward. I mean, you're talking about mid-2023, they brought it to late 2022. I really believe that the cyclical trade is over. Inflation will come down and that technology will be the real winner. So those that were winners before and during the pandemic will be the winners going forward as we go forward. So I look at things like your cloud stocks, your mobile payment stocks are the ones that I really like going forward because they've come down in valuation. We've seen a bit of movement into cyclicals in this value trade. You're actually starting to see that reverse. And I think tech is going to be the real winner in the US as inflation comes under control.
How do you think this has affected investor sentiment, though?
Yeah, I mean, we did see sentiment in the first part of the year affected. I mean, we saw the movement into banks. We saw the movement into the industrials. But in the last couple of weeks, the market is wavered off. I mean, we did see the Fed speak. We did see the movement in the rate go forward. And the market rallied on the back of it because, you know, they were worried about it coming forward in early 2022. So, you know, we can handle these types of things. They're so far away. The market is pulled forward, and we've seen new highs on the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. So at the moment, the market's reacting quite well to it. I expect a bullish end to the year. I think you've still got a lot of things in place. You've still got enormous amounts of liquidity from central banks around the world. That's not going anywhere. You've still got the biggest reopening post-World War II around the globe. That means you're going to see rising earnings. You're going to see rising revenue out of companies, which means good for the stock market. So I'm expecting a very big bullish half towards the end of the year. And I'm a buyer at these levels, even at these all-time highs on these indices.
I think we've run out of time, but, you know, really appreciate all your insights. As always, Jack Kuzi, great to have you, founder and director of VFS Group. I hope you're all safe in Sydney, and we'll talk again very soon. Thanks a lot, Jack.
Thank you, mate. Thanks for having me. Thanks,
guys.
See you soon.
Thanks. Cheers.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.